This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donnelly view system, Dio. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Good evening and welcome to the Fatback Four for this Sunday night. I am Gav, that is Shawnee, Grizz and Keith, and we have a packed show ahead for tonight. We are going to give away our PlayStation 5 with FIFA 21 because we passed 10k because you're all sound. We are going to give the announcement on the winner of the Predictor Ace competition, which we ran from the start of the season. We're going to talk about our merchandise. We're going to talk about all our profits from June going to the Sienna cause and how you can help that out. Grizz on his bike, we're going to have developments on that, and also Grizz is going to pick an Indian meal for me to eat. That's all part of the 10k stuff. Shawnee and Keith got away with murder, but Shawnee, of course, if Mbappe signs, I think is in a Mickey Mouse outfit, I think, for fucking something like that. So his day may come. Keith's throwing himself in a canal if we sell 75 tickets for Sienna, so there you go, his day may come. But overall, tonight is about having the laugh. It's about looking back at the season in a slightly different way. We've done shows over the last week or two about season reviews, you know, the good, the bad, the indifferent. We're going to look at Liverpool and the Premier League tonight, plus your favourite bits from the Fatback Four or in the Tripper shows from this season. So I'm going to start with Grizz on the bike, because you're all expecting to arrive here and Grizz will be on a bike pedaling away like there was no tomorrow. But that's not happening. And Grizz, there's a very good reason why it's not happening, but you have promised for us to do this next week. But there's a good reason why it's not happening.
Yeah, look, I don't want to get into my personal stuff, but I've got a bit of a, how do you call it? It's pretty nasty. I would show the viewers if it wasn't X-rated. Like, it's all around my knee. Okay. Shin area. No?
Thank God you said knee and shin.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah,
no, I can't show them. But yeah, it's something called cellulitis. Not cellulite. Like, I've got plenty of that. Don't get me wrong. But this is like a skin infection type thing. And look, it's no excuse. I'm a man of my word. I will do it. I will do the bike ride. You know I've got one. You know it's in the back of the garage, right?
Yeah.
And you know I'm going to do it. It's just, look, it's been delayed by a week.
We're definitely making you do it.
Yeah. Oh, we're definitely going to, you know, I'm definitely doing it as well, like, you know.
Next week, Grizz will come on and claim he has a puncture on the thing, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. It may go there. It may go there. Excuses may get worse and worse, but nah.
Need to get a DOE for it.
Wait, genuine. This week is genuine. Genuine, lads. Absolutely genuine.
Okay. Well, look. As I said, favourite moments from the Trippers. We'll give you a shout out when to throw them in, because it's hard to keep track of them throughout the show, but we will get to them. But I want to start off with a couple of bits around the season. So first things first, I think Ruben Neves was given an award for player of the season. I think I seen today De Bruyne.
Ruben Diaz.
I've Neves in my head. Someone said Neves there, but going to Arsenal. But Ruben Diaz at City was given, was it the Reuters player of the year?
Yeah.
And then you have, I think, De Bruyne and Foden winning clean sweep.
Yeah, De Bruyne got the Players' Player of the Year.
Okay. And Foden, Young Player of the Year, yeah. So I just wanted to start with you. It was like, Shawnee, them three, all Man City. Is there anybody else for you that would look that you would say, nah, he's my player of the year? And I go around the table on this as well.
Yeah, I would have given it to Harry Kane personally. I think, look, he's not flavour of the town around here. He's not, honestly, he's not well liked on in these parts, in this parish, as Keith would say, but Harry Kane has been unbelievable this season. His output has been incredible. I don't like him, to be honest with you. I don't like him as a person. Ever since that time he swore on his daughter's life about a goal that he didn't score at Stoke, I just found it hard to take to the fella. But if you look at the role he's taken up this season for Spurs, like how he's evolved his game, he's unbelievable. He's a false nine and a complete striker at the same time. The way he drops in, his distribution of the ball, how good he is with his back to goal. He's been unbelievable this year and so consistent. And on top of his performances, his numbers have been unbelievable. I don't think Kevin De Bruyne... I would have probably had Kevin De Bruyne as probably City's fourth or fifth best player.
Yeah.
City's fourth or best player. I would have had Foden ahead of him. I would have had Cancelo ahead of him. Gundogan ahead of him. Ruben Diaz ahead of him. That would have been a good few that I would have had ahead of De Bruyne, to be honest with you. I'm not sure why he got the award. PFA isn't normally a popularity contest either, to be fair. So, look, the best known player from the winning team is the one who normally wins the award. I know last year, a few probably felt Jordan Henderson should have won it. I probably think he should have himself. But Harry Kane, for me, I really think Harry Kane deserved it.
Barry Devaney and others, including Danny Emery, says Gundogan deserved it in their opinion. And I go along with that. Just I think Gundogan scored, in especially when City went on that run, you know, where they just looked like, where they just pulled away and you knew what they were going to win the league. I thought Gundogan was unbelievable. Keith, any other names in there?
Yeah, I mean, from what Shawnee said, Kane was unlucky. He's changed this season from being just a goal scorer to an all-round player, a creator, dropping in deep, playing in Son for a lot of chances, which, you know, he hasn't always been that type of player. He's always had a decent passing range, but I'd class him as a very selfish player, and not a good selfish player, very, you know, selfish person. I'm not a fan of Harry Kane, but I do think he was more deserving maybe this year than the Man City players. And I think the City players winning these awards is a nod to the fact that they've done nothing but moan about not winning it in previous seasons. You know, when Mo won it, they all felt they should have been De Bruyne, I think, that season. Virgil winning it. You know, they've done nothing but moan Man City about not getting player of the year. So I think this season, has there been an outstanding player? I don't think there has, to be totally honest with you. I think Kane is in the shake. I think Salah should be in the shake-up for it. And an outsider, I would put Mason Mount up in the reckoning for it. Because to me, Mason Mount, he's not of that, maybe that top echelon yet. But Chelsea have had a Champions League winning season. And that young fella, who I thought was a Frank Lampard, you know, just in there because of Lampard. And when Lampard went, Mount would disappear. I think Mount's been excellent for Chelsea and he'd done it in the big game as well. So he's an outside show for me. But look, I think if I'm being honest, Kane probably does deserve it. Deserves some sort of acknowledgement, you know what I mean? Because the most goals, the most assists are right there. As a team, they weren't great. And I think what colours a lot of that was, there was a period where every single goal that Spurs scored was a Kane assist the Son or a Son assist the Kane. But still, over the year, I think Kane deserves it.
Yeah, like, he does get most assists and most goals, Grizz, and it's a good show. I think Gundogan I just thought he was brilliant. And someone says that he was good for 10 games. I think it was a bit more than that. But anytime I watch Gundogan this season, I was very, very, very impressed by him. Grizz, who would you go for?
Yeah, I get you. I get the Gundogan shout. But I also, I wouldn't say 10 games, but I think he had a very slow start. It was just when we kind of tailed off and Man City got a whiff of the title and then he sort of stepped up. This is why it's quite bemusing how Kevin De Bruyne got it, because it was when Kevin De Bruyne was injured for a period and Gundogan just went up levels and everyone, like, sort of everyone was waiting for a major player from Man City to be injured and say, all right, let's see how they react. And Kevin De Bruyne, even us guys were saying, oh, Kevin De Bruyne. Without Kevin De Bruyne, they may stutter. But Gundogan enabled them not to stutter, and they went on that mad winning run. But Harry Kane, again, what Keith touched on about in terms of the way he's adapted his game, is credit to him. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think he had that in him. But his footballing IQ is one of the best around. You can see that he hasn't got that explosive pace. Not that he had it anyway, but he was fairly sharpish. That's dropped 5-10%, I'd say. But his ability and weight of pass is something that I didn't know he had. And it's been, I'm like with you guys, I'm not a massive Harry Kane fan, but you've got to give credit where it's due. He's been absolutely superb this season. Record number of assists. I mean, I should know. I captained him most week. Just to let everyone in the chat know that I won the. Well, Keith, am I saying something wrong?
Factually correct.
Right. So yeah, I won the Fantasy Premier League.
You're not one to big yourself up. That's all.
No, of course not. Yeah, absolutely, of course not. So Harry Kane was a monster for me, and you know, I think he very well deserved it this season. But yeah. I'm not overly fussed, to be honest with you, Gav. Even last year, do you remember when there's always noise about, oh, he should win it? It doesn't really bother me, to be honest with you. I'm not one to sort of make a big hoo-ha about it, even when Liverpool players don't get it. But deservedly, Harry Kane, I think, should have got it this time.
So
a lot of shouts for Emi Martinez in the chat there, which is a good call, because he's been brilliant for Villa as well.
Yeah.
You think he was definitely the best goalkeeper in the team of the year? Another shout, like... You can't look like we watch football for enjoyment. Well, I do anyway. And the same players here, you look at like Key touched on Mason Mount there. Like, I'm with Keith. Everyone was calling him Gareth Southgate's bleeding teacher's pet and Frank Lampard's teacher's pet, wondering why he was playing. And then all of a sudden, he was just consistently 8 out of 10 every week.
Yeah.
And then you see. He's one of them players where you put him anywhere and he does a job for you. So he playing wide for Lampard, and then Tuchel come in and just gave him the license to go wherever he wants. And he's been incredible. He's been absolutely incredible. But like Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish, like for large parts of the season. He was better than De Bruyne this year for me. Yeah. I have him ahead of De Bruyne. I'd have Luke Shaw ahead of De Bruyne this year. Someone who consistently performed for nearly 35, 36 games, you'd say. So there's so many to name. I'm definitely with Keith. When they were giving out the awards for Team of the Year, I was expecting Martinez definitely to be in there. Like that, I had a look at the agenda earlier, and one of the sections, I have my idea picked out for that. So we'll talk about that in a bit, I'm sure.
Kieran Thorne says Mason Mount will be regarded as Chelsea's greatest ever player at the end of his career, in his opinion. He's on record saying that. It's funny, though, because Keith said earlier, like, and loads of people thought, you know, a transfer ban, Lampard using youth in Abraham and Mason Mount and others. And you thought, like a lot of people thought, when he gets all his money, Mason Mount will disappear. And I think that kind of looked like it might happen because Lampard was trying to get all these big money signings into the team and using them horrifically. And it's funny how Tuchel comes along and you think Tuchel would be more used to all these big money signings and look to play them. And he's actually got the best. I think Mason Mount's come on the most under Tuchel over any player. And he was probably the one, and Abraham, where you go, they'll end up dropping out. But I think he's been absolutely, absolutely excellent, Mason Mount. And Martinez and goal for Villa, I think I expected him to be in the team of the season because I thought he'd been brilliant, and it just shows how Arsenal let him go and kept the other guy. It's just mad. And then didn't he sign Matt Ryan on a deal, and he's out of contract now? So we're back with the Arsenal circus that usually comes around every June. Go on, Sean.
The mad thing with Mount is he done the whole hog for Chelsea. He done the Vitesse Arnhem loan. Then he went to Derby on loan. So he looked like he was just going to be just another product at a factory for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So, like, he's pure product of that transfer ban bearing fruit. Like, and all of the stuff, like, one thing I will say, the Euros are starting next week. A lot of the standout players in the Premier League this year are all English. Like, Ezri Konsa was superb throughout the season. I thought he was unbelievable. I think Southgate has brought the wrong bleeding Villa centre back with him. And Matty Cash has been very good as well. He's really stood out in games. There's a load from Villa. Villa are a team who really overachieved. Mm-hmm. Then you have the two lads at West Ham, Souček and Koufal, who are both brilliant. So there was a lot from outside around the area. It's hard to pick anyone from Liverpool. Look, I'm going to say this now, and I'm sure nobody will disagree with me. If Diogo Jota doesn't get injured in December, he's Premier League Player of the Year. Simple as that. Because the fella was just completely on the tear. He just looked like he was kind of ripped the leg. And he was like Suarez that year when he just looked like everything he touched was going in the back of the net.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant, and you're right. If he doesn't get injured, God knows where he would have ended up at. Before we move on, this show, of course, because I forgot this at the start, this show, of course, is brought to you by Manscaped. And Manscaped's latest thing, of course, is Father's Day. And what better way to tell your father you love them than buying them some Manscaped gear? And do you know what? My Manscaped sent this through to me. I thought, great, Father's Day, something to work on. And then I thought of one of Shawnee's famous sayings. When he doesn't like something, he said, I'd rather watch me dad get out of the bath, right? So, Shawnee, if you had to watch your dad get out of the bath, surely you want him to be using Manscaped and look some way presentable, am I right?
Trust me, he's using Manscaped, but still not something I'd like to think of, but it just makes it a little bit more of third level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just going to put it on record. I've actually never seen me dad getting out of the bath, thank God. But I just know that if he was ever going to get out of the bath, I would have liked him to have Manscaped. I'm like to think he did. He got a bleeding kit off me, so hopefully he's used it.
Yeah, We're a bit of luck. But look, you could surprise your dad this Father's Day with the ultimate men's hygiene package, and of course your balls will thank you. There is the Lawnmower 3.0 is in there. You've got the Weed Whacker in there. You've got the Crop Preserver. You've got, what's the other thing they use, Keith?
The toner
is amazing. It comes with the leather bag, it comes with the charger, it comes with everything. So listen, 20% off, free shipping. Insert the code LFCDT at checkout on manscaped.com, and it'll sort your lad out for Father's Day. Moving on.
Look, if you haven't bought one at this stage,
seriously, they're brilliant.
Forget about the sponsor. I'm yet to meet somebody who has any negative feedback. Yeah. Like, I've literally told mates, do you know what?
Spot on.
No, honestly, and I'm being this isn't even like, this isn't the businessman in me talking. After I got my one and I used it, I said it to me a couple of mates. I sent on the discount code. I said, lads, I'm being honest with you. If you buy that and you don't like it, I'll literally give you the money for it.
Yeah.
And I heard nothing back from any of them. So,
yeah. Well, there you go.
I'm still alive. Nothing happened to them. Yeah. They're all still knocking
about. There's a lot of people shouting out, asking Shawnee, telling Shawnee it looks amazing in Carrick on Shannon. He's asking, is that tree in the sitting room taken over?
Do you want to know
if you're going on Love Island? And you've been lashing the Santro payload, you know, but the sun must be unbelievable over in Carrick on Shannon, because they say you've got a great colour.
Down in Carrick on Shannon, get it right, not over in Carrick on
Shannon. Up in Carrick on Shannon to us.
Don't give up the game, Gav, please.
Sorry.
Freeworld asking, do I use it on my head? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. 100%. I do. Okay. I use it on my head.
Okay, nice.
You can use it everywhere. Do the full body with it.
It's absolutely brilliant. And Shawnee's right. It's not about trying to promote and sell this. I haven't heard anyone say anything negative about it. That's a very good sign.
Yeah.
Right.
Obviously, people are asking a follow-up question to that, but we can't talk about that.
Matt Hayes says, lads, any chance Jurgen Klopp is looking for a change of scenery? Is this, are you
have
looking
they
to see
appointed
if...
Scotty Parker yet, Matt?
I tell you, it's some crack. What happened with Conte? Did he just say no?
I don't know. Yeah, Matty was going mad on the Conte train last week, and that's looking like it's gone tits up.
Look, I felt sorry for them. I'm not going to lie. I felt sorry for their fans, because that was savage. Absolutely savage the way that panned out. Bless them. Yeah.
But the thing is with them, and like, we won't get too deep into it, but the thing is with them now, they're trying to balance keeping Harry Kane with appointing the right manager, but basically telling the manager that's coming in, what we want to keep Kane, and what's the money going to be like? I think it's a very hard appointment they're trying to make.
But I think that's key, Gav. I think they're saying, you know, look, we're selling Harry Kane. So what we want the manager to come in, we're going to sell Harry Kane and you're not getting that cash to reinvest in the squad. Yeah. I think that's happening. I think it's Daniel Levy is like, right, let's get this stadium chipped off quicker than we thought we would.
Yeah.
So I think it's looking a bleeding awful prospect.
Yeah, it's looking like a hard appointment, and Matt just follows up there. I've heard Spurs pulled out of it all. He didn't want to invest in youth, wanted too much on transfers. Conte was shocked how quickly everything derailed. Our club is a farce. Listen, it's early.
I'd agree with the last. Totally in agreement with the last sentence.
That was just a spin. That was just a spin. That was get everyone on board and buy their season tickets. That's all that was. You were never going to give. Spurs aren't going to give another manager money because they actually haven't got it to give.
Yeah. So Sullivan reckons they're in a world of financial hoard at the moment.
Exactly.
£1 billion stadium.
Well, you see, it's a £1 billion stadium. And you have to remember Arsenal in 2006, I think they moved to the Emirates, and it goes over budget. And you look how long it took for them to compete financially with everybody else. And that's going back 15 years ago. Now, when you put that onto today, where the money's just going through the roof, and if you're left in 2006, if you were 20 million behind, it was a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Now, 50 million seems like nothing behind. So how far are they behind? It's a mad one for them. The stadium went over budget and all the plans they had for bringing American football in and all sorts of stuff, all being shelved for 18 months, you know.
Exactly. And that's been
horrendous. And you know something? In fairness to them, fair balls to them, because they went and they kept it as close to White Hart Lane as they could. The stadium looks unfucking believable, in fairness. And it's just one of those things we're going to have to just take our medicine probably for a couple of years until the COVID stuff eases out and you can start getting stuff into that stadium, because that's what it's for. They want to bring massive concerts, boxing events, American football, whatever they want into it, and that will pay off. They get massive payments for that, so it's one of those. Megan McCallion says for the Spurs job. I think Shani said that to me a couple of times actually, haven't you?
Yeah, well, they need to do something like that, Gav. They've got to, because what they need to do is they literally need to say to a manager, look, Kane is gone and you won't be getting the money. This is a long-term project. We're going to need you to rely on a scouting team to bring in the right players and you implement your system, and over time, we'll get there. Like, they're not going to be back in the Champions League in a year or two, because you look at the competition to get back into the Champions League. It's mental at the moment. The Premier League is log-jammed. If they gave up 6 spots for the Champions League, Spurs probably wouldn't be getting them. So it's no surprise why the likes of Arsenal and Spurs were bleeding hightailing onto the back of this European Super League trying to get in, because it's the only way they would have been making those guaranteed books. So I think they are in trouble. But like you said, Gav, the boxing matches and all, even that's being taken away from them now, because sports is being whitewashed. Like, people are like, Sky and the likes aren't interested in putting boxing matches in Wembley anymore, because they get bleeding massive side fees to happen in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So the timing has been horrendous for Tottenham. Yeah. Absolutely horrendous. Like, and they're a big club and I like their fans, and it's a bit shit, to be honest with you. They have been smashed by COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. The stadium is something else, isn't it? Like, if you've seen even in the documentary, the All or Nothing documentary, they had to move the first team to the NFL changing rooms. Like, the setup of that stadium, the pitch rolls off and the NFL state, like, they're so tied in with that. And that was the big money maker. Now, look, that's going to come back to them and all, but, you know.
It will come back to them because, you know, in someone in America is thinking of putting a franchise in London because they're all mad and they would go and try to do that.
Well, Tony Khan is mad to do it, and he can put them in Wembley. So that's even Tony Khan owns the Jacksonville Jaguars and he owns Fulham and he owns Wembley as well. So like Daniel Levy has the hardest job in the world at the moment. I bet you that fella hasn't slept a wink in about 2 or 3 months. Honestly. Yeah,
well, you see, when you look at it, it's the only thing for Spurs is they're going to have to do something, and fairly quick. Let me see. James Little says, guys, what is your thoughts on Mo Chatra's trade on Twitter? Why Mbappe would be feasible for FSG, if you have seen it. Haven't seen it, mate. But I will go and have a look. Mo Chatra's stuff is usually very, very good on Twitter. You make a cup of tea, you sit down, you read the thread. It's actually quite good. Want to move on before we go on to our next topic. And at the start of the season, we done a predictor race competition. I think it was 50 questions, Keith, am I right?
Yeah, and 50.
People had to predict the outcome of 50 questions that were put to us by a viewer whose name escapes me. But
Stuart Davis,
good man. And Keith got the unenviable task of going through all the entrants and processing them and putting them together. But he has done it because that's the sort of guy Keith is. Mm-hmm. Keith, we've ended up with a tie.
We have, Gav. Honourable mentions, right, to Chris Brack, Ashley Loringer and Barry Devaney. They all sort of came in sort of second place. They got 17 out of the 50 correct, but the winning score was 20. And two people shared that. So we have David Conlon,
yeah,
and we have Ashley Oliver. Both okay. Got 20 correct out of the 50. Now, I don't know if the guys are in the chat or if they're listening or if they listen back or what way to get this. But we do have their email addresses and anyway, so we can get in contact with them. But both of them got 20 out of 20. I entered as well. I got 15. I was happy enough with that, to be honest.
Delighted
with that. When I was collating everything, I was the first one on the list. Yeah. And I saw me score 15, and the next one's like 8 and 7, and I'm like, nice one. I'm on for a winner here. I don't care if there's a Stewart's inquiry. I don't care if people are complaining. But yeah. No, turned out I didn't. Turned out I was miles off the pace. But it was two people shared. It was Ashley Oliver and David Conlon, and fair play to them. You know, like I said, there was a lot. Ashley, Chris and Barry were close, and then there was a few more on the 16. You know, there was quite a few in there, but 20 out of 50. Matt Sweeney's right in there, 20. That's incredible. Matt was unlucky as well. He was close. I think he was on 16 as well. So it was tough for
them. Can I ask a question? Who checked the results on them?
Neat.
Very full complaint here. Build a bus for Keith in the chat because I can only
imagine. That was a nightmare.
Strenuous task, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but he done it.
Yeah, 50 questions and there was 50 entrants. So I had to check each fucking one and then tot them up. But yeah, got there in the end.
Good stuff. So what we're going to do, we do have David and we do have Ashley's email addresses because they had to email us the answers. So what we're going to do is we're going to contact them and the day trippers are going to give them the new Liverpool 21-22 home jersey as a prize for that. So we will get in contact. We will get your size and your email we have your email, your contact number, your address, and we get our order for you in the next day or two and sent to you. So congratulations to them on the longest running competition we've ever done. And Keith said, you can stick predictor race with your whole next season.
We won't. We'll talk to Stuart about running that again.
Yeah, no worries. Stuart might put the questions up if he wants to collate them. We've had player of the year. We've had stuff like that. Who's disappointed you? You know, who? And I don't mean just, a fella that's come into the league. I'm talking maybe someone that had a good season last season and just tailed off, disappeared. Who's disappointed you, Chris?
Sadio Mane.
Okay.
He has, Gaff. It's pained me to watch him at times this season. And obviously we're going to take away a significant factor. Could be a significant factor, but we can levy that at a lot of players, which is COVID. We just don't know how COVID's affected different people. But Sadio Mane, Gav, just, you know, been my disappointment. On the back of, we were talking about players of the season, and I know Shawnee said Henderson. I thought Sadio Mane was our player of the season last season. And just a drop-off killed me, killed us, hurt me. I can't see him even having conversations come near the end of the season, whether we would entertain any bids for him or, you know, putting him up for sale, you know, even though I said I would in the transfer committee when I was part of the transfer committee. But yeah, you said who disappointed me. And I think it's Sadio Mane. I think some of his body languages are at times. This has disappointed me. You know, especially knowing that we lost a lot of leaders and we look to the leaders. See, because in my opinion, Mo showed a total different type of body language when the chips were down. He really did. Sadio had a few strops, you know. Just overall general, I'm just being honest as I can. He gave me the most disappointed vibes.
Okay. James Little says, for Liverpool, it was Mane for the rest of the league party. You don't have to pick a Liverpool player if you don't want to. You can pick another player, but Grizz has gone for Mane. And that's fair enough. I think there was a frustration with Mane, a disappointment, and just a hope that he just finds the form again. Now, in fairness, towards the last couple of games of the season, he did look a lot better. And hopefully, a rest in the summer, and we'll see how he gets on next season. Shawnee, for you, is there any player in the league that was really good last season and just tailed off, or come into the league and you thought, he's going to be great, and he wasn't? Who out there disappointed you?
Yeah, Kai Havertz. Obviously, he goes on and scores the winner in the Champions League. But we're talking about the Premier League. He's been really good in the closing end of the season. He's come up trumps for Chelsea. He was very good in the semi-final and in the finals of the Champions League. But I just think as a Premier League campaign, he failed to deliver. Now, it's obviously, it's easy to forget. He's a young kid coming to a new league, but you can definitely see the
transfer fee as
big transfer fee. Couldn't argue a Partey. He's been muck. I think he's got a free ride. I think all Arsenal signings get a free ride. Like Nicolas Pepe is 75 million, and I think he only hit 20 league goals after two seasons there a couple of weeks ago. But Havertz, because to be honest with you, the clips I've seen of him from the Bundesliga and whenever I watched him, he was phenomenal. He looked the leader at Leverkusen and so composed and looked. I do think he's going to kick on definitely next year, but Kai Havertz is one that I really thought would torch the league. And in fairness, he goes on to score a winner in the Champions League final, but so did fucking Divock Origi, so we won't hold him in that regard. But yeah, Kai Havertz is one I really expected to light up the Premier League, and he failed. He flattered to the save, if I'm being honest.
The easy one I think to go for would be Werner. Yeah. I think he's been awful for Chelsea. I think he scored a couple of goals, but I think he's been awful overall. And I think the way he was used by Lampard didn't help him. And just for all the hype around him, and that'd be easy one to go to. But I'm actually going to go for Aubameyang at Arsenal.
Yeah.
And the reason he's disappointed me is because when Arsenal had a hard time, he went running and hiding. And I was fucking fuming. And people... Again, I get so drawn in by Arsenal because I just get so frustrated by them.
You do? Why did you do that?
I don't know. Because I tell you why, Grizz. I started watching football in the mid-80s.
Mm. Right?
And I knew Liverpool, Manchester United, Arsenal.
You know,
and George Graham and big teams, big characters, you know, were able to go away in horrible grounds and win games. And a player stood up and always a bit of class about them, right? I include United in that. And when I look at Arsenal now, especially since he went to the Emirates, I suppose, there's a hollow feel to Arsenal, and it frustrates me. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't get upset when Arsenal lose, but when I look at that club and what I was brought up on, which was like, you know, them being right up there all the time and being classy about it and having leaders. When I look at Aubameyang, he signs that deal. And Neville is raving about him chasing back because he was playing the position where he should fucking chase back. And I was like, what are we talking about here? And then they go through a hard time. And I remember a game where they get beaten. And I think one of the youngest players in the team ends up doing the interview afterwards. And Aubameyang is nowhere to be seen. And that for me was the biggest disappointment of the season of any player. You can have bad form. You can have, you know, issues around COVID, personal issues, whatever it might be. But Aubameyang for me is the biggest disappointment of the season simply because he's captain of Arsenal Football Club. And for me, the way he carried on was spineless, and he shouldn't be the captain. And that for me is the biggest disappointment of the season. Keith.
They're all great.
So irrelevant, I didn't even think of him. That's how that really nailed home your point. He was so irrelevant, I didn't even think of him. And like you said, there's nothing more infuriating when he fucking signs a contract for mental money and just goes missing it.
Yeah. But I think he'd only scored a couple of penos as well for months. Like, he hadn't scored from open play into the season.
Yeah.
He was fucking dreadful. And you're right, Gab, spineless is what you'd say about him. He got the big bucks, and as the leader of the team, he just fucking hid. When they needed leaders, they needed a talisman. They were a young team. And Sean is right, you know, Pepe stunk it out. Partey, I have Partey on my list as well. He was meant to be the final piece of the jigsaw. He was fucking terrible. You know what I mean? Just never showed up. William earning, God knows what. We missed out on William. Thank God for that as well, because he hasn't bothered his arse this year. Loads of them are Arsenal. But as people were saying, Chelsea, Timo Werner, people say reserve judgment. He didn't improve at all when Tuchel came in my opinion. He was still... he didn't look great, and I suppose we'll always use him as the whipping boy because we missed out on him. You know, we, everybody, Liverpool fans were so excited when we were signing him, then we didn't sign him, and everyone's taking glee in the fact that he's sort of stunk it out this year. But, you know, new to a league, he's young. Same with Kai Havertz, he's young, new to the league. I'd give him a pass.
Yeah,
Aubameyang doesn't get that pass for me. It's even Partey being new to the league, Riz, he's not even a youngster. He's a seasoned pro. But people are pointing out, you know, Ziyech was terrible. Ziyech was bleeding brutal for them as well. Another big signing. Pulisic didn't do much for them this year. You know, Chelsea had a lot of duds and went and won the Champions League.
But I think I'm with Gav. He's changed my mind. I mean, obviously, I was speaking from a personal, just focusing on Liverpool point of view. And both you and Shawnee make absolutely valid points, the players you've mentioned. But I think the fact that they all knew, and quite a few of them are young, and they've come into one of the most awkward seasons for everyone, I think they get a pass. Havertz, near the end, a lot of Chelsea fans spoke about his form after he came back from COVID, slowly improving. But I think, the way Gav spoke about Aubameyang, it just makes me mad as well now. I think to myself, what an absolute tool. You know what I mean? Like, no, Shawnee, he missed. He came late from a North London derby because he was stuck in traffic.
His attitude, his output, he left them dangling for the contract and then just does a fucking, just disappears. To be honest with you, you could just strap the whole of Arsenal Football Club to the side of a rocket and fire it to space, because it's been an absolute disaster this year.
Yeah, true. Before we move on off that, Gav, as well, I can just say, on Grizz's point about Mane, when I was doing the predictor race stuff, one of the questions was who'll be Liverpool's top scorer? And I would say 90% of that picked Mane. I picked Mane. Do you know what I mean? So the drop off, you know, from expectation for Mane was absolutely huge. But yeah, from a Liverpool point, he probably was a flop. But I think the expectation was just so high on him, and you know, COVID takes a toll on him as well. But I don't know what to do about Mane going forward. You know, we've spoke about it, and it's a tricky one. And
James Rodriguez.
If
you had expectations on James Rodriguez coming into the league, I don't know what the fuck you were thinking. I really don't. You know, it was another one. James Rodriguez had a similar feel off it to me. Now, not to the extent of like Balotelli, where someone will get a tune out of him, something will happen. Ancelotti will do this, and it just didn't happen. And it wasn't a massive surprise for me. It really wasn't.
James is going to be paying Colombian overlords to kidnap him. There's no way he's going to
No way.
But in fairness to Everton, like, James was a poxy signing, and Alan turned out to be a bit of a bucket of shite as well after all the hype around them. You know, Decore was okay. Wasn't great come the end of the season. But, like, Everton, they win the transfer window every year, but their signings tailed off badly, with the exception maybe of Godfrey.
Yeah, Godfrey is a really good signing for them.
Yeah, he's a good player.
People are asking about the PlayStation 5 draw. We are going to be doing that in the next couple of minutes. I am going to be asking these three lads in front of me to pick numbers, but they will be with their back to the screen while I show you some information to make this all work. And then the actual decision on who wins it will go to somebody in the chat to make a cast iron work. So let's see how that goes in a couple of minutes. What I want to do next is manager of the season. You know, when you look at it, you look at, you know, Tuchel comes in and wins the Champions League, Pep wins the league. You see, I think Klopp's done, despite criticism, which was kind of fair, I think through the middle part of the season, I think he's done a great job to get us where we were. I don't know what people's feelings are on Solskjaer getting them to a European final and second place in the league. Rodgers wins an FA Cup and just falls short again. Chris, manager of the season for you.
I've given this quite a bit of thought, surprisingly, because you tend to just look at sort of the top, you know, or you look at someone who's done sort of kept them up. I've gone for someone in the middle who's some expected to sort of be one of relegation fodder. But I think for me, on a personal level, they've been an absolute joy to watch, and that's Bielsa's Leeds. I just love the man, everything about him. I may have stolen Keith's limelight. I knew, sorry. Football, this is what happens when football men
get together. Football
get together, this is what happens. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So some of the punditry or the pundit shouts around Christmas when they had a slight dodgy spell about how his teams fall away was probably indicative of the level of punditry in this country. Because if they had checked him out and checked his teams out, they're sensational. Fittest team in the league, bar none. I think we found that out to our detriment in the Ellen Road game, where they just went up a notch in terms of intensity in that second half. And we had a week off rest, I think, in that week leading up to it. So we thought we'd be able to match them intensity and fitness-wise. His principles never shied away from them. So many journalists and pundits, as I said, ex-players, oh, you can only play this way, you know, and have limited success and sort of, you know, it won't last, the quality of the Premier League. If you're giving 4 or 5 chances to opposition, you know, you lose more than you win. He defied everything. He defied all this chat. Never made a big hoo-ha about it in the media. Doesn't fight back in the media in terms of giving many articles and interviews and saying, oh, you lot don't know what you're talking about, when he fucking could, right? Because he could teach everyone a thing or two about football, and including me. But he's sensational. Gav, I love the man. He's been a credit. We often talk about sort of the Anfield crowd and the intensity of crowds affecting teams.
Great point.
Many people testify to the Leeds crowd being so instrumental in how Leeds press and play, and, you know, in terms of egging them on. They've done that with empty grounds, Gav. They've done this season in empty fucking grounds.
Yeah.
I think they would have done even better if the crowd was there. So imagine that. Again, shrewd buys, turning players like Rafinha, and Jack Harrison, you know, from Man City, I believe, on loan.
Yeah.
You know, turning Patrick Bamford into what I think is a Premier League striker now. So many doubted this fella, thinking, he scored goals in the Championship, but he won't be able to do it. So I just think, you know, I just think he gets my vote. Very simple for me.
He gets Keith's vote as well, am I right?
He does. He gets my vote as well. And look, David Moyes is getting a lot of shouts in the chat. And I do have Moyes down. Someone's after saying it there. Moyes, no team. Grizz spoke about Leeds missing out of a crowd. Liverpool are the same, right? So they're the two teams, I think, that missed the crowd more than any. David Moyes and West Ham benefited the most from no crowd, because that is a toxic, toxic club. They hate the owners. They hated the manager. They hated a lot of the players, and no crowd benefited them. Now, that's not to take away from the job that Moyes done. He's done a great job. He is a good manager at that level. And, you know, nothing but sort of respect to Moyes for doing that. But I do think he got lucky. So I gave it to Bielsa, because like that, he got slaughtered a few times because they played games against Man U, I think Leicester. They got absolutely bleeding rogered in games because they refused to change. And the clamour was, oh, you can't do that in England. You have to know, you have to change.
Yeah, they used Norwich as the benchmark with Leeds, didn't they? Everyone
had them down as some sort of a fark.
Yeah, you can't just come up and try play a ball the way you did in the Championship and get away with it. And he did.
Yeah, but the difference with Leeds and Norwich were is that Leeds tried to play ball, but they pressed the life out of you when you didn't have it.
Unbelievable.
When they didn't have it. Norwich didn't. Norwich were too nice to turn around. But Leeds were brilliant. I think Moyes is a good show. All things considered, I think Moyes is a good show overall. And Shawnee, who would you give it to? Would you go with Bielsa?
To be honest with you, yeah. Like, I would have been looking at Moyes, and after listening to the lads, you can't really deny Bielsa, because everywhere he's gone, there's this thing that he's just kind of skate out, and it doesn't seem to be the way. He seems to have found a home there with Leeds. He seems to really like it there. You see him getting out of his car and with the people. He's having the effect that Klopp had at Liverpool, at Leeds. I think he seems like he's made for them. And they, I can see they worry every single year that he's going to skate out. And I wouldn't have picked him. But lads, I'm going to be honest with you. Not one of us had mentioned them, but we do have to give credit to Pep Guardiola, because he has reinvented that City team. He has given them a new way of play. He did give them a jolt. They look. There was talks of him getting sacked in October, November. There was talks of him being done. There was talks of him being out the gap. There was talks of him leaving at Christmas, not signing another deal. But he found another way to make them. He made them tick. I think they won 18, 19 games in a row again, didn't they? Now, yeah, they forget about the Champions League, because we're not talking about the Champions League.
Yeah.
Pep has always been a Pep. And I get it, he has two squads to play with, and in a COVID year, having the two squads help. But he did turn them around. Now, I'm not giving him his manager of the year, but I am giving him his flowers, because he did turn it around there, whether you like or not. He played the majority season without a striker. He left Aguero and he left Jesus out by choice, because they were fit. Yeah. They were fit, and he left them out. And we have to give him that, but you can't go past, you can't look past Bielsa. His football has been unbelievable. And I don't really like, I'm not this type of person who looks at a spreadsheet and says, oh, they're really good, they're brilliant, that's a brilliant player, like, looks at numbers and think they're brilliant. But when I seen the graph of the sprinting that Leeds did compared to everyone, I was thinking, Jesus Christ, these are the gang of animals. And as Grizz said, with no crowd, to have that intensity is incredible. I'm looking into next year. I think Leeds are going to need 5 or 6 bodies, because there's no way it's sustainable to do what they were doing, because it's off the scale. They're nearly running twice and three times as much as the team that's behind them in second. It's absolutely incredible.
And they're doing that without a star player as well. Do you know what I mean? Leeds' best player this year is Stuart Dallas. It's all the system. It's all players that play into the system. Yeah. It's the manager that puts in. He's done it everywhere he's been. And you need players to buy into that, you know. And David Moyes has a good team at West Ham, but he's got big enough players there, you know, that have come in. And Jesse Lingard came in and done well there. And Souček has been a great player for them. Declan Rice is the future of English football, all this sort of stuff. But Bielsa is doing it with Patrick Bamford. He's doing it with Stuart Dallas. And he's doing it with all these guys, Luke Ayling.
Another one of those that played, you know, lower league football, and suddenly this rise to, for me, being one of the best fullbacks in the country this season.
Even the keeper, Meslier, he looked a bit shaky. Stuck with him. Makes mistakes,
but stuck with it. Absolutely, Keith. That was huge, because there was a period of the season where I remember, you know, Garbrin, a contributor to the mighty Trippers, you know, said, "Oh, Grizzy's an awful keeper." Blah blah. He doesn't fancy him too much. but fair play to how do you pronounce his name? Because it's Meslier. French, isn't it? Meslier. Yeah.
Meslier, I think.
Yeah. See, there you go. Even though Shawnee's half Spanish, he knows his French as well.
Beardy Volkswagen there, the great sound. The Shawnee looks like an Italian manager being interviewed for Satan Greasy in the 90s.
No, you know what he looks like? Do you know what he looks like? He looks like a player. You know when they're away in a tournament.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah, and you interviewed him at night time, like
how you leave
him up to the game tomorrow.
Off at the
Do you know
Euros.
What he looks like? He looks like he snuck into the BBC studios. Not the way they usually have a studio in the middle of a square somewhere at the Euros, and it looks like he snuck into that studio and said, "Ah, here, I'll just set that up here. Fuck it."
Lineker, the light Claire Ballin to come in and swing you around by the ankles over the back wall.
But look, there's good shouts there. But Bielsa gets the majority of the show. I've three quick questions before we do our PlayStation draw, and then we're going to have a little chat about our favourite bits from the season, Trippers and Fatback Four was. So, Shawnee, I just want a quick answer on this, and the same from Keith and the same Grizz. Who do you think is probably still in the job and you can't believe it?
Arteta.
Okay, Keith.
Arteta.
Grizz.
I went something different. I went Steve Bruce. I think Arteta's building something there. Arteta's not the problem at Arsenal. Yes.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. But Grizz, my reason for Arteta being still in the job is that there's a period there where they go out of the Champions League and the amount of managers available, who will take the... Arsenal spend money, people will deny it, but Arsenal do spend money. They do spend money. And the cronkies get lashed, but they do spend money. And when you press them, they will put money in. They have been in the same cycle as United, where that timing has been horrible. Horrible in regards to getting new managers. I think if they had a bit of balls, they would have got rid of Arteta. I don't think he's up to it at all, to be honest with you. I don't see where they go. I think if they run with him now, they'll be in the same position again.
The thing with Arteta, right, is, look, when we done our predictions, or when most people done their predictions...
Fast answers, right, yeah, sorry here, boys.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, now go on, I've said my bit. I'd say I went for a fella.
Steve Bruce.
Steve Bruce, yeah. I just don't think he...
Oh, Shane McGlinchey, great show. Mike Riley and the PGMOL.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're going to get to something on that in the next minute or so. There's O'Shane McGlinchey there. Brendan Rodgers is the answer, but no, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. But no, I think the answer is actually Sean Dyche, to be honest with you. I think when you look at them, I just can't, and for a number of reasons, not because of the footballer team, but where I think they finished about 15th, 16th, did he?
Hasn't spent a penny.
I know, but he still finished 50. They're not progressing. And,
okay, if they get rid of him, they're Stoke back too. They're in League One and three.
It could be, but there's other reasons to it, Shawnee. The other reasons is he had a massive blowout with them in the summer. You know, there was massive talk of him going. And he wouldn't sign. It was a Jeff Hendrick. They had to let go. He ends up at Newcastle and he wanted to keep. Yeah. And they were releasing players against his will and stuff like that. So I was just massively surprised at Sean Dyche seeing out the season.
I think what he's doing is unbelievable, to be honest.
It's a great job he's doing, but I just don't. Like, I know what you were saying. You get rid of him, you bring someone else in, and it's Stoke, Mark Teale, and they just drop. But. It couldn't, it mightn't be, you know, it just feels very stale for me there. It's the same thing over and over again. And maybe that's what they want. 15th, 14th, 15th, 16th, the Premier League every season, that keeps them going. Maybe so. But it was just for numerous reasons, I was surprised that,
what about Hassan Hüttl? Because they're leading partial to getting spanked for 9 goals, Southampton.
Yeah,
he's had a lot of injuries, man. Come on, he's one
of those. Yeah,
Grizz,
but
his squad's been shredded
in a row. They've got here for annoying.
I'm gonna put one out there, and I'm sure this will be unanimous across the board. How the fuck is Martin Tyler still in the job? Because we're talking Premier League. Stop it. Martin Tyler still in the job? That's the right one. I know.
Yeah, well, look.
No, that's actually the winner.
Yeah, but you need to stop watching them. You need to stop. Go and find. Watch Liverpool on a different channel. I'm telling you, it's much more enjoyable. Absolutely much more enjoyable. Now, I have two more questions and then some trippers quick bits, right? So we're going to try to get this done in an hour and 15. But the PlayStation draw, okay? So the 15 entrants are Dylan O'Rourke, Stephen O'Connor, Laura Duffy, Gary Boland, Red Steve, Jody Pegler, Kev O'Sullivan, Danny Emery, Rob Hogan, Tracy Mortland, AC5814, Keane Ryan, Jonathan Boland, O'Shane McGlinchey, and Last Minute Winner Podcast. Okay, so I have them names on a sheet. I'm just going to show you this so everyone knows that this is bang on, right? You can see that it's a sheet with 15 names on it. There's nothing else on the sheet. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to write 1 to 15 randomly beside these people, and then these boys are going to look straight up in the sky so they can't see it when I tell them. Okay, straight up in the sky. And do not look at your screen, because you guys are going to have to pick a number each for the three finalists, okay? So just give me a second. Right, so just give me a second to randomly put these in, okay? So, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, sweat pumping
out me. Yeah, and it's nothing got to do with it being 28 degrees. I'm sweating there.
Nine. Carrick and Shannon.
I know.
Tonight,
11, 12,
good luck to whoever gets it as well, you know.
Are all the contestants in the chat?
I don't know. So we'll have to wait and see. So here we go, right? So I am going to put this sheet up in front of this screen, and before I do, you three boys are going to look straight up in the sky. Okay, I want you to look or turn around or turn away from the screen, wherever it might be. I do not want your eyes on this screen. Now? Turn away. Yeah, turn away. You cannot see that screen, okay? All right? Okay. So, you can still hear. If you shout out your answer, I will hear you, okay? So, people can see that there. I've randomly put the numbers beside them, okay? The lads cannot see anything, okay? So, Shawnee, shout a number between 1 and 15, please.
5.
Number 5. Okay, let me go down here. I'll try to find it. Number 5 is AC5814. Okay, Keith.
That sounds like something out of next series of Line Duty.
Okay, Keith.
I'll have number 10.
Number 10. Who has number 10? It's Jonathan Boland is number 10. And Grizz?
1.
1 is Laura Duffy. Okay. All right. That's grand, lads. You can come back to me. Okay. So.
Oh, we got AC5814 in the house.
He's in there. I thought that was a burner. I thought that was a bot the other night when it came out. And he messaged me on Twitter. He actually follows me on Twitter. So we can confirm it's a real person.
Okay. So that was fair. You're seeing it done. Sheet empty. Sheet randomly filled. Lads pick 3 numbers. Now, to make it even more cast iron, I'm going to get somebody in the chat to pick A, B, or C, okay? So what I'm going to do is, right now... I'm going to write, in the order that they came out, okay? So who was forced out? Shawnee's pick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was AC5814. It was Jonathan Boland. And it was Laura Duffy. Okay. Now, I'm going to randomly put 1, 2, and 3 beside these 3 people, okay? And I'm going to go... 2, 3. Okay, so there's a random number beside those. So I'm randomly going to go in here. And I tell you what I'm going to do. My last comment in there that I can see at the moment is from... Is from Oisín McGlinchey. Okay. Now, Oisín was in the draw, the original draw. So, Oisín, I'm going to wait on a number from Oisín McGlinchey of 1, 2, or 3, Oisín. Lads, I'll keep an eye out for this, will you? Jamie Holmes says he's nervous and he's not even in the draw. So, Oisín McGlinchey is going to give me a number between 1, 2, and 3. Okay. And I have them in front of me here and I'm going to hold it up. Okay. When it's done. So, Oisín McGlinchey has gone for number 3. Okay, let me just get this right. Number 3 is AC5814. That person, man or woman, we're not too sure, has won the PlayStation 5. So the PS5.
Gav, make sure he does that thing where you click in the boxes and pick the traffic lights and the bikes to make sure he's
all that. Yeah, it'd be just Spock Riz and it'd be Grizz and all 6 of the 9 panels.
Pass the test. He's got to pass the test, mate.
Well done, mate.
So now AC5814, and in fairness to him, he did email us the other night and he did say, I'm passing on the information, and he has done all that. So we have got his email address. We will email you later on tonight or tomorrow. Get all your details off you and sort you out with that PlayStation 5. Thanks a million to everyone that entered and helped us, of course, to get over 10k. We did promise you that we would give that away, and we have done. And Shawnee's heart rate is dropping, my heart rate is dropping, and everyone else involved, you can all chill now. You can absolutely
and a good old school raffle as well, you know. No fancy graphics or any show like that with the day trippers. It's just a bleeding names on a sheet, random.
You're going to get Rod Stewart in to pull it out of a hat, but he's busy this weekend.
Rod was up to his eyes. He was nixering. AC says, going to make my son one happy boy. Well, AC, listen, we will get in contact with you.
That's great.
Ali could
tell
be lying.
Tell him to go on Warzone and I'll batter him on there.
But no, listen. The main thing about this was is that you've been amazing support. We opened it up on live shows. We opened it up randomly with comments in the show during the week. We gave everyone as much opportunity as we could. We got 15 entrants. We done it, as you've seen tonight, very, very randomly. And of course, a listener picked out the winner, which is the only fair way to do it. Right, let's move on. AC says thanks very much, and you're more than welcome, and well done again. Right, so quick question. The worst decision you've seen in the league this season? Keith, Chris is going to need about 10 minutes to think about this. Keith, the worst decision you've seen this season in the Premier League?
There's been fucking loads. There's been loads. It's been an absolute shit show. The worst I've seen is a Liverpool one. Well, didn't go for us, obviously. It was the United game at Old Trafford when we... Was it all? Yeah, Old Trafford, the first game. When we were on half-time and Thiago, I think, plays a through ball and the ref blew the whistle before the end of the... You know,
a lot of time.
A lot of time. It was at Anfield. It was 8-9. Yeah, it was at Anfield. 8 or 9 seconds or something before the thing was meant to go.
Drove me insane with this, not thinking about how many bad
and
ones.
That to me is one of the worst decisions I've ever seen, because we can say the
no reason.
And all
they
never blow it early.
Never blow it early.
It's a minimum of fucking 3 minutes at a time. And he blew it early while we're on an attack. Now, to me, that stunk. That was one of the worst decisions. And look, conspiracy theories and all that. That one was the worst for me. That one had my fucking blood boiling. There's been probably bigger, you know, shitty decisions there. The Virgil getting injured and what's his face just waving it away or whatever, Michael Oliver. But to me, that was the worst by a country mile, that he blew up on the team on the attack before the time was up. That's fucking skillboy stuff. You wouldn't see it in skillboy football.
I think I have two, but I just want to throw them in, right? I keep thinking it was Kufa, but it wasn't. It was Balbaina, is it? At West Ham against Chelsea, where he clears the ball, hits Chilwell and gets sent off for it, late in the season. That was horrendous. But without doubt, the worst decision this season as a collective is the Pickford Van Dijk incident. It's just horrendous. From start to finish, how they handle it, what they do and what they don't do. Yeah, well, the whole makeup of what goes on in that couple of minutes is so bad. It changes the way that they look at VAR again. And from there, every single thing they get wrong, they keep changing rules as the season goes on. So for me, it's that, where it was shot.
Not even checking the foul, just checking for offside, like spending so much time looking for a minute offside. And
but not dealing with the incident itself. It was madness. Shawnee, worst decision?
You haven't mentioned it. I haven't even seen anyone in the chat mention it. The disallowed goal, Fulham and Spurs, where...
Oh, yes.
Davinson Sanchez clears a ball a yard away from, I think it's Bobby Decredova. That's how it's Decredova. Hits him in a hand. He hits it on from a yard away. It was one of those really bad decisions where the next day he actually changed the rule. But that happened a couple of times this season. Yep. There was the Man City offside at Villa. That, you know, that one, but that one was the one where I went going, what the fuck is going on here? Like, he literally hits him with, he's a yard away from him. Is he supposed to disappear? And his hand is on his toy. It's literally on his toy. It's not out from his body. And they disallow the goal. Like,
madness.
Just baffling. Like, the levels of shiteness for the officiating this year has known no bounds. Yeah, sorry, Lamina, I'm saying something. I knew it was one of the Fulham lads anyway. Just, that was, I actually turned the game off after that. That, I was so annoyed about it. It's so fucking bad. So bad.
James Little says, when United got a penalty after the game had finished, Brighton and Bruno Fernandes. Do you know what? I didn't see the issue with that, because he blows the whistle as the game's over, but they go back and look at the incident just before the whistle's blown, and they say, no, hold on, you've missed something in there just before you blow in the whistle. That I think they were using the system possibly correctly there. It's just the fact that he blew the whistle,
it's
the game
circus.
Is over.
Yeah. That makes the circus of it,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly,
The game is over and it's coming back out.
Kieran Thorne says, changing the handball rule halfway through the season literally messed up the season where you could change laws halfway through. It was because it all started with Van Dijk. It all started with Van Dijk. I'm telling you now, everything was looked at and reviewed, and it was basically them telling you every week that this was a shit show and we're going to just try our best to deflect from it. Grizz, worst decision, go.
For me, there's no doubt about it, amongst so many fucking horrendous that everyone's mentioned. The Villa disallowed goal. Man City's offside goal, against Villa.
We'd agree for him with that.
Look, again, like what Shawnee said with regards to the handball, again, they changed the rule very soon after that as well, tried to make an excuse for what happened. And
there's the one, the free kick, Brighton.
Which one was
Brighton,
this?
The free kick. Remember, he scored the pair.
Lee Mason.
Oh, yes, it's Lewis Dunk.
Hands down, the worst one.
That was so fucking funny, wasn't it?
Disallowed the goal for no reason. He didn't even give an explanation.
Yeah.
He blew the whistle twice.
Who was it that said that? Because I want to put that up on the screen.
He changed his mind twice. Didn't he change it? He gave it and then he disallowed it. And then he was getting pressured and he gave it again.
Brighton West Brom, it's the worst decision. It was the one that made me actually laugh.
Said the double whistle free kick,
It was absolutely, normally you get the boys in the studio. You normally get Dermot Gallagher bleeding, writing up a report for the boys. But I remember when they asked him on Sky and he just started laughing. That's how bad that was. That was the worst. You'll never
that was horrendous. That's the one where he blows for the free and your man scores, and as it's hitting the net, he blows again. And he doesn't know why he's blowing again. He can't actually explain why he's blowing again. So he goes off, doesn't he? He starts looking at stuff and all, and he's like, what the fuck is going on? I think that's the winner. I think that's the winner. A lot of people are saying Carragher and Neville's decision to back the fans trying to stop a game was one of the worst decisions that's been seen. VAR, just in general, is getting a shout in there. Mane's offside against Everton is in there.
Trying to stiff us for the top four was a terrible decision by them as well.
I think Shawnee's come up trumps there along with a couple in the chat. There was 2.5 minutes of footage of that, right? And you're literally watching it, and you know when you're watching something with your mouth open, aghast, kind of going, and you just keep looking at it, and you're waiting for something to happen, and nothing happens. You're just watching it going, what the fuck is happening here? And there's no punchline. There's just, this is what's going on, lads. This is it. This is it. They won't be putting that on a PowerPoint for the upcoming
even
season.
Even Big Sam, the bitter is the bitters, was literally looking at the fourth official going, and it was in his favour.
Yeah.
He was going, what is going on here?
It was bad. It was absolutely bad.
They could do a whole show about the decision. Mason
probably done a game then the following week.
Yeah.
Premier League, so it doesn't make a difference.
No, did he not get taken off? He got, were we meant to have him the next week and he got fucking...
Nagyev says he's no longer a referee.
He got dropped after that, I think.
Oh, really?
He was meant to, and he got taken off for some shitty reason. They gave a crappy reason or something.
Wasn't it a toy strain or a calf strain or something?
Something ridiculous.
Was that him? No, it could have been another ref because there was so many fucking stuff going around. He's not well and he can't do it and they were coming up with all sorts. But
yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Absolute stinkers this season.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, some people have said Lee Mason has retired.
The Fabinho one, that's outside the box.
Sheffield United,
and it's a clean tackle. And all of a sudden he's got a foot on the line and that's a penalty.
And you remember your man at Villa, the striker, Ollie Watkins, didn't he get done twice in 2 weeks? He gets pushed into an offside position. Mental stuff.
Patrick Bamford pointing where he wants the ball.
Yes, that was happening. Some crack. We could do a week for the stuff on this. Note that, Keith, as assistant head of content.
Remember, just the last one, was a McTominay was sent off against Spurs. Was that Was that changed in game? Was that reversed in game?
It was, yeah.
When he flicked.
Yeah. Was that reversed in game, or were you annoyed? Did you know you finished that game with 10 men, or what? Because it was more than happened, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't even remember that.
He flicked out and hit Son.
So many bad ones. Like, fucking.
The fact that they were just changing all the decisions. Someone said earlier. Getting rescinded. Like, it was unbelievable.
The Souček red card at Fulham. Do you remember?
Yeah. It's literally too many, Gav. You're right. We could do a whole.
We should make a list, an absolute list of this.
What happened there again?
Souček is in the box. He's waiting for. There's a free to be taken, and someone grabs his short, and he goes to shake him off, and hits your man, but doesn't even know he's barely knows he's fucking
not
there.
Even looking.
And your man red cards him. Mike Dean
was the ref, and they it just went. No one even appealed, I don't think. And Mike Dean gets a shout, get over and have a look at that. And he went over and blading. You know what they all say when they're going over, they're being told.
Yeah,
get him off. Get
was Martial was sent off against Spurs or Old Trafford? Wasn't that the corner?
Someone
was saying Martial. He's probably getting you mixed up with the other game, and you're
now the McTominay.
Yeah,
McTominay with the finger at Son's eye. Yeah, when you pushed him off, that was only at the end of the season, wasn't it? That was.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, as I said, we should do a list and have a good laugh about them Sunday. Yeah.
2026.
I just want the name of a player. I don't want this fucking life story, the player to watch next season in the Premier League. He could be in the Premier League, or you feel he will be in the Premier League come the start of next season. So you're making a bit of a prediction here if you want to. Keith, player to watch next season in the Premier League, please.
Boubacari Soumaré.
Okay. Leicester?
Yeah.
Okay. I got let Grizz go last because he's deep in thought. Shawnee.
I missed this one.
Florian Balogun.
Yeah.
Okay. Arsenal. Yeah. Youngster Arsenal. Yeah. Nagib says Buendia. Mac One says Rafinha or Jota. Zis Kutsambas says Mbappe. Oh, I know where he's going with that. Kev O'Sullivan feels that Pedro Consalves, is that the way we say it now? Feels he will be in the Premier League next season. And he's one to watch. Grizz, come on.
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, I like it a lot. Mac Wood says old. Phil Jones.
Anthony
O'Chill says Powdens of Wolves.
Pile of piss.
Field. Yeah. James Little says Van Dijk. Martinelli at Arsenal says Norman, I think it was. Free World says sadly Sancho. It looks like he might be that imminent deal that's going on 14 months looks like it might be happening.
Still imminent.
The report out with Germany today suggests that he hasn't been a bid at all, but we'll have to wait and see. I think that's all the questions done. I think we've done well there. Now, what's been last question, the most important one of the night? What's been your favourite moment on the Fat Back 4 this season, or indeed something you've watched on the Day Trippers? Keith, have you got a favourite moment?
Do you know what, right? We've done a lot.
Oh, sorry. People in the chat can throw a few in now, and we have 5 minutes. Go.
We've done some good stuff this year, but to me, the funniest was when we were doing the quizzes and Grizz became an impressionist, and some of the wee haggis and all this other stuff that he's come out with just had me in stitches. So I think Grizz's impressions in the quizzes this year has been tops for me.
Okay.
I'm going to elaborate on it.
Yeah, go on, elaborate, because I don't want to steal your thunder.
When it was Grizz and Avi who, to be honest with you, the dynamic duo of that, like playing Laurel and Hardy, they are that fucking great. Like Leah... Abby reminds me of Leo Getz of Lethal Weapon, and Grizz just lashes him out of it. And Grizz has to describe David Moyes, and the first word that comes out of David Moyes, Grizz's mouth is Spanish. And then we had Wee Mahagas, and then fucking, you know,
it's amazing. It's amazing what pressure does to you, though, lads. Right? It's easy for you. Like pressure. When you're under pressure, you say some of the stupidest shit. And I couldn't, for the life of me, work out how to describe David Moyes.
And it was hilarious because Abby was trying his best to rattle off serious guesses and was getting frustrated, and Grizz was just giving him nothing.
You know what? We should go back and clip it up because it was
genuine
gold. Like, I wasn't on that. Laughing.
I wasn't on that, and I edited it. I edited that show because I edited all of them. I just said to the lads, anything I need to clip, they just get into trouble. They were like, no, it's perfect. So I just clipped the end, clipped the beginning, threw everything together, put it out there. And the next day I was walking at home and I stuck it in my ear as a download. And I have to say, there was tears coming out of my eyes.
Abby Freeboard
was absolutely. Samir says, when Gav said fatback four show, I don't know what that means, back on Sunday. And Grizz shouting that he doesn't want Fabinho at the back on Sunday. Abby diving medal. Oh my God, that was amazing. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. David Cockwomble Coote and Wee Haggis is one. What have you got, Shani? There, you had the other ones.
The rampant rabbit on the forum.
The clean film.
I pick off y'all of me sitting around the next morning. And so like you, I just had her on in my ears, and all you can hear is all of a sudden is the boys giggling away in the background. You're thinking, what's going on here? And then I flicked up the window and the comment is on the screen and everyone is just in convulsions. There's so many, Gav. Like, you think about, remember when we were doing the, it just feels like one big long year. Remember when we were doing the drafts and someone said they were bringing in Shane Long to flick on balls for Ronaldo.
No, it was Ronaldo flicking on balls, long balls for Shane Long to chase.
In the channel.
Mohammed Jogi says, Gav Googling Sophie Rose. Oh, that was the night me and Keith were doing the Fan TV 11. That was mental. Somebody said earlier, solid Easter eggs. I think solid Easter eggs might have been last season. I don't think it qualifies. Freewood says, Avi, with the Tom Daly answer had me in fucking fits. Because the question was, wasn't it?
What colour medal did Tom Daly win?
And he just shouted, diving medal, which was fucking outrageous.
It was a 1 minute round or something, and they were running out of time, and he just kept shouting, diving.
Yeah,
diving.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
When Gav gave me the keys to the kingdom, when he told me to host one show, Friday night forecast, and the Red Hills, I lost my camera.
Peter Smith having full bomb combos with his missus.
He's
100% going to get a bang of a sweeping brush on live on stream one night. There's nothing short of that.
Abu Bakar says it's when Grizz started calling people Simon when he was thinking. Of course, we did go through that period where he just called everybody Simon. This is one of my favourites, Olivier stitching up Gav. And do you know what? I was so devastated at this, but it was fucking brilliant. And I still give Olivier stick over it. When he told me that Paul Pesky Salido was on a coin in Canada because he's that famous. And I was fucking amazed. I thought it was great. And it turns out he's not on a coin. And I was so fucking heartbroken. I wanted a Paul Pesky Salido coin, but Olivier absolutely stitched me up. Miss that slack a lot.
Paul Pesky Salido wants a Paul Pesky Salido.
Oh, yeah. Now my Grizz is Avi.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. So I told Grizz to host the show one night, and he said, no problem, what do I have to do? I literally kept it so simple that you had to press three buttons at the start and three buttons at the end. I said, forget everything in the middle. We'll do away with it this week. And I was getting mesh going, are you seeing this? And I went on, and the lads are, Joe Wayman, I think, was on that night. I'm not too sure who else. And I literally went on, and all I could see was a pair of fucking legs with these like heels on it. They look like fucking sharks or something. I don't know what they were. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And Grizz is just talking away as if there's nothing going on. It was absolutely brilliant.
Professional.
Yeah, Ali says when Coppish got skilled in the quiz, second leg, imminent as that Sancho transfer, I think. But we're still waiting, boys. Can we see Grizz do the Deutsch impression?
Guys, how can we forget? Actually, I can because I've lost my voice at the moment, so I'll probably do it better. No, but how can we forget, Keith, when you was hosting and it was Shawnee and Gav versus me and Avi? And the question was, who won the Grand National, something, right? And it's my question. And Avi's shouting in the background, oh, I know this one. And I said, Avi, hold your horses, pardon the pun. It's my question. He goes, yeah, but I know it. I know it. I know it. It's that energy drink.
No, but what it's happened that energy drink. Abby, I remember it so clear. Abby shouts out the answer. And Grizz hits the roof and he goes, you didn't know that. And Grizz goes, it's the only fucking horse I know.
It's the only horse I've ever fucking heard of. Red Rum.
Red Rum. I've that's got the this. One.
And Keith was like, oh, well, that's blown it. You know, you've given the answer, right? And he didn't know what he had done still.
He thought he was
the
right.
The fucking prick.
And I've got to
tell the people, it's slack, natural. Man. It's natural.
Nilo's air guitar story.
Right, so Nilo's air guitar story is, I don't even know what show it's on, but my God, I've watched it and I've listened to it. I don't know.
Anyone who's watched through the years would know Nilo could literally write a book of little limericks of these stories that he has. Mental. He's one of the most genuinely funny people you'll ever meet in your life. Yeah. And you know when he's telling you something that happened? And when I was listening to that, I was literally in the queue for the shop waiting to go in, and the tears are rolling down my eyes going down. I had a mask on me and you could see everyone turning around looking at me. And the worst part is you actually need to be visually watching the joke, but I knew the way Nilo was.
Yeah.
His mask sent him the guitar lessons.
guitar. So I must look up, that's a forum show, so I'm sure, and Nilo's only been on 3 or 4, so it'll be easy enough. And I know it's late enough in the game.
It wasn't that long ago.
Big Joe losing his internet connection and his contact lens a couple of weeks ago.
I was crying. Absolutely crying. But you had to watch that. You had to watch that as opposed to listening to that as a podcast. You had to watch that.
Yeah. But the Nilo one is so fucking funny because people remember the air guitar, but they forget the bit before it where he went to a school and there was like a tower on the school uniform as the symbol or the emblem or whatever, the logo. And you could buy it with it stitched in or you could buy a patch. And his ma wouldn't buy either. She sent him across the road to the neighbor and she tried to put the tower onto the jumper using wool, right? And it came out looking like, he said it came out looking like a flaccid penis, right? So that was grand. That was the first bit of it. But the second bit was the air guitar and going to guitar lessons with no guitar because his man said, if you like it, I'll buy you a guitar. And the funniest bit about it was is that not only was he playing air guitar, but your man was showing him what he was doing wrong and Nilo was trying to adjust with an air guitar. It was so fucking funny. Someone says, Keith playing EastEnders on the Tim Whistle.
When Jamie
done the quiz and he picked I don't know what website he picked for the answers, but they were all wrong.
I was going mad. I was like, this.
We were doing the quiz and people, no, I think that's wrong. And there was obvious questions and all. And no, Jamie, that's definitely fucking wrong. And he just played lost the head. Yeah, that was quality. All right.
There's so many little gems. You kicked her up this year, Gavin. The show's on nearly every day of the week. There's always something going in there. The boys are going on about there. I stopped doing podcasts in my sitting room because everyone was going on about a fucking tree that wasn't real for about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
There's just so many little things.
I'm not going to lie. I found Gav's rant with Shawnee a few weeks before the end of the season, the facts one.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I was laughing inside. I'm not going to lie. I knew you guys were serious, but inside I was like, this is fucking mad.
No, Gav's coming out with facts. There was a better one where we kicked off a show one night and we literally started and Grizz said something and Shawnee went, you reckon, yeah? And me and Keith literally sat there for 5 minutes, drinking cans while you two went absolutely rational at each other.
I have the emotional intelligence of a boiled egg. I really don't. It's not there with me. I just lose it, That's the way I am. I've always been that way. I see people giving out about me all the time, but I'll never apologise for who I am.
Nah. David Ennett's mentioning the bin men's and Robin catalytic converters.
Yeah.
Of course, that was huge. I still think some of the funniest was, the funniest for me was Peter Smith. And he was going on a rant about
it was a player. Rant, wasn't it?
And his missus just came in, didn't give a shit. He was on a podcast. They're having a go and he's trying to do it and he's trying to look at her going, yeah, Grant, Grant. And at the same time, she's absolutely hammering him. And it was so fucking funny. Like the lads literally clipped it the life out of that and still framed it and sent it to him. He absolutely got hammered.
That's the best one of the lot, Gav.
Yeah, away from you saying that. And we probably leave her on this, and I just want to have a little word on that before we go, and won't keep us too much longer. But away from the memorable moments, there's also the memorable things that you guys are setting up to fundraising for great causes. I said it before, we don't do it for people to say you're great for doing that. We do it because the two we've done, one already we've done, and two that we're in the middle of, they take up so much of our time. They literally take our focus, and we've no issue with it taking our focus. Cian, hopefully now is, you know, will be able to get the medication and the help he needs after going through a horrendous start to his young life. And Sienna now, we're going to work as hard as we possibly can for as long as it takes to get her to that total, to get her to America. But Kieran, that's a lovely few words from yourself. Red Steve, overhaul your bollocks by Manscaped when you were talking about squad overhaul after the Newcastle game. Yeah, that was a good one as well from Red Steve. But listen,
you notice as well, Gav, a lot of the moments we have starts with the chat, starts with people being interacting.
Coming in there.
You light the fires, you come in. So it's just unbelievable to see so many. Because I remember when we were on Periscope and you'd see this same few names and there's still a few of them knocking around.
Guys, do you remember the guy? I haven't seen him in the chat anymore. Do you remember the guy I blocked and unblocked about 15 times in one show?
Yeah.
And the chat was like, right, can you block him after that opinion? Oh, that was brilliant. I can't remember the guy's name, but shout out to that fella.
He was Barry Barry Devaney says reaching 10K is a big moment. Also, unreal content throughout the year and bigger and better each year. Yeah, listen, we've said it before. You keep liking, keep sharing, keep spreading the word and keep supporting us, our sponsors, wherever it might be, in whatever way you can. We'll keep doing it. We'll keep going and keep going and keep going. And as I said, we're working so fucking hard this summer to make this even bigger and better. I promise you. Every single day we're working hard to make this bigger and better.
Please God, next season we can all get together somewhere and do something. Because it's nice to put names to faces, you know what I mean? Whatever they're, you know what I'm saying. I'm not bleeding. Yeah. What's your man's name that does fucking catchphrase? It's not my gig. But it would be nice, and hopefully we could do something like that along the line, because those types of things are great, you know what I mean? And the last time we all got out together was the night we lifted the trophy. So hopefully, because I know a lot of the people are around, so it'd be nice to do
that. That's
like
one of our big things for next season is getting back over to Liverpool to watch games and go for points with lads that are involved with us and people that are coming to games or whatever it might be. And also to do something in Dublin where people can get plenty of notice, come over, have a night out with us. We don't know whether we do a live show or just go on the lash. Go on the lash is probably the better option, but we'll absolutely try our best to do that. Before we go though, the merchandise range, as I said, go and have a look at lfcdt.com/shop. New designs going up every couple of days, as quick as we can, I suppose. And we're trying to bring them. Anyone that's got stuff already has said the quality is really good. They're really happy with it. So go and have a look there. But the biggest one, the biggest thing if you're on there, on our website is lfcdt.com/Sienna. And in there, you can see how to get onto her GoFundMe. You can, if you're walking 5K, running 5K, you do it with your family, on your own, friends, wherever it might be, check the 5K challenge out. 20 euros for yourself or your family, whatever. 20 euros, do what you want. But 20 euros, walk 5K, let us know about it, and let's get that going as well. And of course, all the merchandise on her own part of her merchandise site. And every single bit of profit from the Sienna range will go to Sienna, plus every single penny we make in June from air merchandise, YouTube, downloads, whatever it might be, is going to Sienna as well. So please go and have a go at that. Anything else before we go, Shawnee?
No, all good. Again, like, I know we kind of closed out. This feels like a bit of a closer for the season, but thanks everyone for coming along every week. Then you have Grace, Keith and Gav, three world courses. Like, it's a pleasure to do the show every Sunday. We have some cracking. I believe that next year we're going to go on again to another level. Look, let's call a spade, I write content above anyone else's. It's unfiltered. It's not the same screamy shite we're not on here telling you every other week that Mbappe is pending, all these other things are pending, trying to get people to come in. We come in here, we're like a chat. Everyone's welcome. We have the bit of crack. We talk football. We bite the nose off each other. We'll pull stuff up on stuff they said 6 months ago. We do all that. We're just all lads on here having a bit of crack, having a chat. It's just great. It's been great. It's been a great year in a shite time. This has been a great platform for us all to get on here. And the quizzes, the drafts, having the chats. I know for a fact it's helped me when I had fuck all else to do. And it's great.
Yeah.
Matt Sweeney, unfiltered is what makes us, says David Lennon. Matt Sweeney says you'll put yourselves in the same bracket as any well-known LFC pod. It's his favourite. And listen, that'll do for us. That'll absolutely do for us. If that's what you and others think. Keith, anything else before we go?
No, it's as Shawnee said, you know, it does feel like we're closing out the year. The season is over. We look forward to next year. But, you know, Sunday at 10 for the Fatback Four, it's always a pleasure. It's never a chore. Little bit of poetry for us.
Oh, it's brilliant. I love that line.
I was waiting for the Tim Whistle to come out and the Glen Roll team tune to fucking play us out
this
there.
This week's podcast is sponsored by Seamus Heaney.
WB Yeats.
What we bring to the table.
I love it.
Anything else before we go, Chris?
No, it's look, what Shawnee said was absolutely spot on. And I'm going to say is I genuinely mean this. Like, look, I've managed to fluke my way onto many shows on YouTube. Honestly, I have. Absolute spoofer. And I've blagged my way into so many shows. And everyone knows all the platforms I'm on, whatever. But without a shadow of a doubt, come Sundays, 10 p.m., chatting to these guys is the best part of my whole week. I always look forward to it. I hate cancelling it, even though Gav fucking doesn't talk to me for about 3 days. But it's only when I literally can't make it or something. And the reason for that is because we're absolutely natural. What you see on screen with us is exactly how we are off screen. The fights, the arguments, the debates, the opinions, the difference of opinions. Exactly what Shawnee said. We rip each other offline as well. And we carry it on to online as well. We don't hold back. We're not trying to create something or create chemistry that isn't there already. And hopefully that comes out in what people see and listen to. And this has been an awkward season, man. It's been an awful season for so many things, but I think it's like, you know, someone says therapy. We actually call it, you know, come Sunday for some therapy, you know, and it's been therapeutic for myself as well. Never mind for anyone listening and watching. And, yeah, you know, as you guys said, bigger and better things to come next season as well.
And yeah, all the other contributors as well. There's been so many who've jumped on. Chris Brack, there's been so many. There's been Anthony Poyne. There's been lads coming on doing pods here and there. Just, and they all make you know what I mean? It's a group where nobody subtracts. Everyone is adding. Yeah. And that's the main thing. Even everyone in the chat, there's no dickheads in the chat every other week coming in here screaming like bleeding babies every week. Everyone is that balanced. You can see some people are upset. It's all very real. It's great. And then the main fella there, the top left, the workhorse, Gav, who boasts his bollocks to unbelievable level. Like, people don't realise the work that fella puts in. It's 24/7, 365, and he deserves all the praise he gets. And without him, as Conor McGregor said, the whole fucking ship sinks.
Yeah.
There is no ship. Without him, there is no ship. No, well, look, it's simple as that.
And he hates it, and it's great. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I do. But look, listen, with this kind of puts us at the end of the season officially now on the Fatback Four. We're going to look forward now instead of backwards. And, you know, even this week, we have a forum tomorrow night. We have a midweek fix with an interview, I think, coming up this week. We have a transfer agenda show. Chris is back with one of his European shows on Friday. And we'll be back here again next Sunday. But all we can say is that throughout the summer, we're going to throw loads of different stuff at you. Because, look, there'll be people out there and they'll bring you out stuff and you'll conversations over conversations. We're going to have a laugh. We're going to have drafts. We're going to have quizzes. We're going to have transfer stuff. We're going to bring whatever we possibly can. You're going to see some new faces as the summer goes on, and hopefully those faces will continue on into next season, because we plan to have more shows than this year on a weekly basis. That's our plan. We plan for it to look and sound better. We plan to have the studio back up and running. We've loads of stuff that we're trying to do. It's a short window we're trying to deal with in, but we're going to do everything we possibly can. And as I said, just like, just share, just spread the word, and just support us in whatever way you can, however little, however big that is to you. Just please do that. And as I said, we will keep going and going and going, because we're a stubborn shower of fucks when we want to be.
So, someone's asking about the reunion audio. That's coming out the week after Dr. Dre detox. So
listen, listen. The only way that reunion audio comes out, I don't even think it's available anymore. I don't have it. I can promise you that. But the only way it comes out is at my wake when I'm dead, because I don't want to be around when that comes out. You just don't. But look, that's been it. That's been the Fat Back Four. We're sorry for keeping you so long. Congratulations to who won it again?
Right.
AC5814 on the PlayStation 5. Congratulations to David Conlon and Ashley Oliver on the Liverpool jerseys for the Predictor Ace stuff. Get on Sienna. Make sure you go and help her out in whatever way you can. She has a dedicated page on her website, which will give you a link to every way you can absolutely support her. Make sure you do that. Make sure to check out Manscaped for your dad. And I think that's about it. That's it. Over and out. Good luck.
Sports Social Podcast Network.